Hello and welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring discussions and research papers related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Robert Johnson, the Droid Right Mason and Knight Templar. Well, some news is in order. First off, the Droid app is available, and it's gotten some good reviews. The iPhone app is coming still. The folks who are offering it are rebuilding the way it has to be handled in the App Store. You'll download the app called Podcast Box, and then once inside that app, you find the Whence Came You podcast and make a one-time in-app purchase of $2, same as the Android app, and that's it. Now you have the app, but it's through Podcast Box, another app. It sounds odd, but in reality, it isn't that bad. In addition, all the perks of the Android app are in this as well. PDFs and wallpapers and possibly videos at times will be in the bonus content. So look for that soon. And as usual, as soon as the iPhone app is available, I will post the news immediately. Last week, we talked about the beginnings of the Scottish Rite, and now we will talk a bit about the degrees. Being 33 of them, we'll cover a summary of each in about 10 per episode. So here's the information on the degrees of the Scottish Rite as found on www.aasrvalleyofjax.org. The fourth degree, Secret Master. This degree deals with the concepts of duty. To a Mason, duty embraces an obligation to take an interest in the problems of his environment, learn the social problems of his community, country, and even the world, and try to contribute solutions to these problems. The fifth degree, the Perfect Master. The moral teachings of this degree is that we live in peace with our own conscience and are honored by good people when we perform our duties honestly and diligently. When honesty, diligence, justice, and brotherhood do not exist, freedom and independence are meaningless. Masonry values man as a person. Sixth degree, Intimate Secretary. The principal lesson of this degree is that decisions should not be made only on appearance. To be curious is a good quality when directed toward the examination of social miseries, their reasons, and how they can be eliminated. A Mason should not remain detached from the world around him. He should not be an indifferent person. To keep and restore peace, he must be involved in the events of this world. It is the duty of a Mason to provide that men live in peace and harmony. The seventh degree, Provost and Judge. A law voluntarily accepted by a community should be a kind of lifestyle for the individual compromising that community. And justice must always be observed. For a law to be considered as being accepted voluntarily, it should have been freely examined, discussed, and voted by the people. A man who is not free cannot be considered as being just, and the unjust cannot be considered as being free. Masonry teaches man to avoid evil behavior and to not do injustice to others. The eighth degree, Intendant of the Building. This degree investigates the necessity of acting on what we learn, and that we should freely transmit our knowledge to others. The strength of the temple depends on both hard work and ownership. When a man attains a title or position based on his own earning of it, he becomes both knowing and free. He is not indebted to anyone. His reward is attained by his own qualities and diligence. Masonry believes that the balance and brotherhood is established and maintained between the two principles of work and charity. The ninth degree, Ilu of the Nine. Fear and ignorance are the two major enemies which enslave men. It is important that we do not become slaves of certain ideas, that we have the power to fight against ignorance and intolerance for the sake of civilization and our own intellectual freedom. It is our duty to morality, raise our own conscience, to enlighten our souls and minds so that we may actively participate in instructing and enlightening others. The tenth degree, Ilu of the 15. Masons will always be opposed to ignorance, fanaticism, and tyranny. While it is our duty to continuously fight against these oppressive forces, we must ourselves be educated, tolerant, and open to freedom of thought. The war against fanaticism and terrorism is won with education and enlightenment. Now, I know it seems like the information is less than what was given for York Rite bodies. However, all I can say is that this is what is published to the public, and I cannot speculate or add anything. Next week, we will continue with degrees 11 through 20 of the Scottish Rite. The famous Freemason this week is a man who brought us Frosties and Square Burgers. Dave Thomas, founder of Wendy's Restaurants, from Saul D. Bayless Lodge, number 359, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dave Thomas was born in Atlantic City, New Jersey on July 2, 1932. Rex and Aluva Thomas adopted him at 6 weeks old. When Dave was 5, Aluva died, and his early years were spent moving from state to state while his adoptive father sought work. Dave got his first job at age 12 as a counterman at the Knoxville restaurant and fell in love with the restaurant business. When he was 15, he found work at the Hobby House restaurant in Fort Wayne. It was then that he made what he considered his greatest mistake. He dropped out of school to work full-time. His father and stepfamily were preparing to move again, and Dave decided to stay in Fort Wayne, move into the YMCA, and work full-time. This decision to drop out haunted him until he went back to school 45 years later and received his GED from Coconut Creek High School in Fort Lauderdale. He said this was one of his greatest accomplishments, as he was being named most likely to succeed by the graduating class of 1993. When he was a child, Dave dreamed of opening a hamburger restaurant. On November 15, 1969, Dave made his dream come true when he opened the first Wendy's Old Fashioned Hamburgers restaurant in Columbus, Ohio. Named for his daughter, Wendy, it was everything he had dreamed of. An old-fashioned, homey place where families could be together and enjoy great-tasting, made-to-order hamburgers. While much of Dave's time was focused on the cause of adoption, he actively supported many of the other community organizations that improved the lives of children. Thomas died at his home in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in the presence of private physicians. He was a Shriner as well, and he dedicated much of his time and money to the children's hospitals. Information was provided by Wendy's.com and also by CNN.com. This week's paper is about the Ashlers. So without delay, here it is. The Ashlers, author unknown. We are told that the Ashlers lie open in the lodge for the brethren to moralize on. Did you ever see a brother contemplating the Ashlers and trying to derive some moral benefit from them? For the most part, they are quickly referred to and just as quickly forgotten. The ashlar is the free stone as it comes from the quarry. The rough ashlar is the stone in its rude and natural state and is emblematic of man in his natural state, ignorant, uncultivated, and vicious. But when education has exerted its wholesome influence in expanding his intellect, restraining his passions, and purifying his life, he then is represented by the perfect ashlar, which under the skillful hands of a workman has been smoothed and squared and fitted for its place in the building. However, you will observe that the rough ashlar in a Masonic lodge is not in its rude or natural state. It has been squared in a fashion, partially smoothed, and has apparent strength and solidarity. It possesses all the qualities that could make it perfect stone for the use in the construction of the temple, but it needs the hands and skill of the perfect craftsman to bring about that result. It represents the candidate for membership in a Masonic lodge. Such an applicant is not in his rude or natural state, neither ignorant, uncultivated, or vicious. Masonry does not accept men of such qualifications. The applicant, by education and perseverance, has fitted himself as a responsible and respectable man in his community, assuming full responsibility as a citizen, a churchman, and a member of his family. There is a vast number of men in every community possessing such qualifications who are not members of a Masonic lodge and may never have the desire to associate themselves with the ancient craft. A man judges masonry by the actions and manner of living of those he knows are members of the order, but knows little or nothing of its teachings or objectives in the building of character. In that sense, he is in that crude state of the rough ashlar, possessing all the qualities of the perfect material but lacking the polish that comes from a continued study and practice of the great teachings of masonry. Membership in a lodge does not make a man a mason. He must apply his abilities to improving all of him, fall short of that high standard set by masonry in character and citizen building. If he is satisfied with being a master mason in name only, he loses the benefits of further advancement and improvement offered by membership in the order. In other words, he falls far short of anything that might be termed the perfect ashlar. The perfect ashlar is for the more expert craftsman to try and adjust his jewels on. In ancient times, with crude tools that would not even be used in this age, workmen of great skill and experience produced material for the construction of the temple, having such perfection that each piece fitted perfectly into place without adjustment or correction. Time was not one of those essential factors. Perfection was the goal. To keep this state of perfection in absolute balance, a standard must have been set whereby the workmen could constantly test their tools to know that the continued wear and use had not changed the measurements, even in the slightest degree. Did they have a perfect ashlar on which to make such a test? We are told that the perfect ashlar is for the more expert workmen to try and adjust their tools on. In masonry, we are the workmen, whether that be active or inactive, workers or drones. What are our jewels, our most prized possessions? If we have absorbed any of the teachings of masonry, the building of character and a good way of life are two of the many jewels that should constantly be before us. And in the building of that state of perfection to which we attain, what perfect ashlar have we that we might go and try our tools, with which we have been working, to know that they are still of good quality and in perfect condition for the job that lies before us? In every Masonic lodge there rests an altar, and in the center of that altar, the Book of Law. No matter what your faith, it is the solid foundation upon which masonry in our lives is built. It never changes. Civilizations may come and go, but the Book of Books remains the same, adaptable to all conditions of manner and men, in good times and in bad times, in peace and war, a guide for mankind. How often do we consult this guide to try and adjust the jewels which are ours, and which may need to be altered to get them back to that state of perfection which we as Masons should endeavor at all times to hold as our standard way of life? I am afraid that in this busy world of today, we neglect this practice, therefore, as we think of the ashlars and try to do a little moralizing. Let us forget, even for a brief period, the material things in our lives, and direct our thoughts to the more important duty of contemplating our own defects and shortcomings, and adjusting our way of life and bringing it in more harmony with that standard given to us by the great Creator. The ashlars are not just two pieces of stone. They represent what we have been and what we hope to be. It is up to each individual Mason to pass his own judgment on himself and to adjust his jewels accordingly, so that when the time comes and he lays down his tools and makes that final journey to the Grand Lodge above, he may leave behind a reputation as a wise counselor, a pillar of strength and stability, a perfect ashlar on which the younger Masons may test their correctness and value their own contribution to the Masonic Order. Those papers were given at the Alberta Masonic Spring Workshop in the 1960s. Now I say papers because next week I will read the second paper, which is part of that, together. That's it for this week. Next week, more Scottish Rite. A reminder to like the show so that you can listen to us on Facebook and comment on the show. Follow us on Twitter at WentzKMU. If you have an Android phone, check out the WentzKMU Android app. A link to that has been on the website, which is www.WentzKMU.blogspot.com. Also, while you're there, you can listen to the latest episode as well. And add us to your circle on Google Plus under the email wcypodcast@gmail.com. Also, feel free to email the show. So until next week, be safe. And for WentzKMU, I'm Robert Johnson.